This is the Peter B. Collins Show from Green 960 San Francisco. Find out more about Peter B. at green960.com.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, a powerful antidote and elixir for the toxins of right-wing talk radio. Your humble host is on vacation. You can call in on our regular toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. So pick up the phone and show some love from the left coast for the man from bradblog.com, Brad Friedman.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
Yes, you are. Am I gonna love it? That's the question.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it never is.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs.
Stairs?
Clowns to the left of me. Jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yes, here I am. Stuck in the middle with you once again, live from Los Angeles, sitting in for my good friend Peter B. Collins. I am, as he said, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, sitting in while Peter is enjoying himself in Cincinnati, Ohio. That's some kind of busman's holiday, isn't it? Huge, huge show for you today, and if you were listening yesterday, we had some technical kinks, which we think we've got worked out. Thanks to the folks at Diebold, who make all of our radio equipment here. What could possibly go wrong? Coming up very shortly, we're going to have Ron Prentice of the Protect Marriage Coalition to talk about, yes, another ballot initiative for a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage here in California. Folks may know that the Supreme Court, the Republican majority Supreme Court, recently gave the okay for marriage equality in the Golden State, but no, not good enough for these folks who are against it, and they've got their initiative, which is going to be on the November ballot to change the state constitution. Going to talk about that with Ron Prentice, one of the big supporters of that. We will take your calls as well today at 888-5-PETER-B. We're up and down the left coast. We're out in Wyoming. We are coast to coast and around the globe on the internets at peterbcollins.com. And we are open chatting, open threading live at the Brad Blog. Bradblog.com. Stop on by. Agent 99 will be your friendly host today. A little bit later, we'll have Green News with our own Desi Doyen, Daily Voting News, of course, with John Gideon of VotersUnite.org, and Greg Mitchell from Editor and Publisher. He'll be joining us to talk about his new book, So Wrong for So Long. Also, Jason Leopold of Public Record will be joining us to talk about Scott McClellan, Jack Abramoff, and all sorts of accountability issues. You remember that word. And speaking of accountability, as we were in our final hour yesterday, Dennis Kucinich brought forward 35 articles of impeachment for George W. Bush in Congress. He read all 35 of them, took about 5 hours last night on the floor of the House. He finished up just before midnight. And I should, by way of full disclosure here, I should note that I was asked to consult and give some material, if you will, to Congressman Kucinich on those articles of impeachment some months ago, including articles that have to do with tampering with elections and violations of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. I am proud, couldn't be prouder, in fact, to have taken part in that, and most of what I gave to him seemed to show up as is, as I sent it to him. And I was delighted to hear that folks like Thor Hearn of the American Center for Voting Rights, one of the Republican bad guys, one of the voter fraud zealots who's been pushing these disenfranchising photo ID laws all around the country. It was nice to hear him given the recognition that he deserved on the floor of Congress, that recognition being that he took part in this scheme that is definitely worthy of impeachment. Unfortunately, Kucinich was the only one who sponsored that article, those articles of impeachment for the time being. We've got news today, however, that Robert Wexler of Florida, who, by the way, ought to be the vice presidential candidate with Barack Obama. That's just me. Anyway, he also has signed on to the impeachment resolution, I'm happy to say. He put out a press release today saying a decision by Congress to pursue impeachment is not an option. It is a sworn duty. It is time for Congress to stand up and defend the Constitution against the blatant violations and illegalities of this administration. Our founding fathers bestowed upon Congress the power of impeachment, and it is now time that we use it to defend the rule of law from this corrupt administration. I concur, Mr. Wexler. I concur with Dennis Kucinich. These articles, when you hear them read, all 5 hours of them, were just extraordinary. To hear the crimes, the high crimes and misdemeanors of this administration put together into one place, read over 5 hours, they were simply stunning. We have a link to the full articles of impeachment over at bradblog.com, of course, if you want to check them out. Where is the rest of the Congress? That's the question. Will they show up and do their duty? Which, by the way, I consider to be not just a constitutional duty, but therefore a conservative duty. No, not a liberal one. No, not a left-wing one. Not an extremist one. A conservative duty to the Constitution. So, keep that in mind when you read about this in the media. Of course, you may not read about this in the media because it's certainly not getting much coverage. When they do, I'm sure they'll paint it as a far-left, crazy, kook, liberal, left-wing Dennis Kucinich. No. It's very conservative, as will be, and we'll talk about this with Ron Prentice in a few minutes, this business about marriage equality out here in California. I believe that, too, is a conservative issue. In other words, it follows the Constitution. There's a rich idea. Our friend Phil, who we hope is up there listening in Sacramento today, he wrote yesterday on our blog in comments in the discussion about where do these impeachment articles go from here. Phil wrote, to everyone that doesn't know what to do next, you need to look inside yourselves and ask yourself, do you believe in the United States Constitution and freedom or don't you? This is where you will find your answer, writes Phil. Don't be swayed by anyone saying this will amount to nothing. Stop being a child. Think for yourselves. Grow up and see the corruption and do something about it. Do you want to live free or do you want the same old crap to drudge on? Drudge on. Well done, Phil. Don't even be swayed by me, he says. You got to decide yourselves. Freedom or same old stuff. I had to change the word there. Freedom or same old stuff. Screw what everyone says. Answer that to your own heart and mind. Then grow some balls of steel. Kucinich has. I concur, Phil. Smartly done. Smartly writ. And let's see if the rule of law rears its, I was going to say ugly head, but rears its head any time during this entire administration. We've got just a few months left, and the important thing here is, and I've heard from folks saying, oh, we can't do impeachment. They've got an election in 7 months. Of course, they were saying that 2 years ago when the Democrats came in the first place. Oh, we've got to worry about our election. I'm not worried about the election, so to speak. I am worried about the Constitution. I am worried about this country. I am worried about the next president, whoever that may be, or the one after that, or the one after that, taking a look back at what has happened in the years 2000 to 2008, seeing a president who got away with everything. And the criminal actions are astounding. If you read these impeachment articles, you will see they are simply remarkable. And he will have gotten away with them unless someone stands out and does something, stands up and does bring some accountability here. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm interested in. Otherwise, the bar will be forever lowered, and good luck ever bringing accountability for a president, unless, of course, they have sex with someone. And that, of course, we all know is a criminal, impeachable offense. Anyway, all right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back with Ron Prentice, our first guest this afternoon. And, of course, we'd like to hear from you on same-sex marriage. In favor of it? Against it? Let's hear from you. Either way, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Glad you're listening. Glad to be here. I'm Brad Friedman on the Peter B. Collins Show. More, much more, right after this.
Are you interested in saving thousands of dollars on your medical expenses? You can travel abroad with OneWorldHealthcare.org to a top-class medical center and get quality care for a fraction of the cost. Savings of up to 75% are realistic. OneWorldHealthcare.org.
When the wintry winds start blowing and the snow is starting to fall.
Sing it out.
My eyes turn westward knowing that's the place that I love best of all. California, I've been blue since I've been away from you. I can't wait till I get going. Even now, I'm starting in a call.
Give it to us, Al.
California, here I come. Right back where
all right, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and yes, thank you, Mr. Jolson. We're about to talk about California's upcoming, what do they call it? California Marriage Protection Act, which will be on the November ballot this November. As you may know, the Republican Majority Supreme Court recently found that the law, that the statute that was passed against same-sex marriage was unconstitutional, and so comes now this gay marriage, this move to ban gay marriage at the constitutional level. The California Constitution will be amended if this initiative passes to read that only marriage between a man and a woman is valid or recognized in California. One of the folks behind that Protect Marriage initiative is a fellow by the name of Ron Prentice. He joins us now. He's the CEO of the California Family Council, part of the Protect Marriage Coalition, and we are delighted to have you, sir, to talk about this this new initiative that will be on the November ballot. Welcome, Mr. Prentice.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Glad to be here.
Let's start. There's so much I want to talk to you about on this, and I'm hoping you can give us well as much time as possible here. Because first off, I have, as you may guess, I have concerns about this initiative, the reasons for this initiative. But really, one of the main reasons is because I think that what they found, what the California Supreme Court found, was actually a rather conservative decision. That in fact, there is nothing in our Constitution here in California that disallows same-sex marriage. And I have to presume that with you bringing a constitutional amendment to make that change, then you would agree with that. Am I correct in that assessment?
Well, we would agree with protecting the definition as it presently exists, which has been in place not only within the state, but over the course of centuries, what marriage was intended to be. Between a man and a woman for the raising up of a family, and so this amendment is nothing more than strengthening the existing law by placing it into the Constitution of the state.
And does the law actually, that definition you talk about, is that anywhere in the law or the Constitution that marriage is to between a man and a woman and to bring up children, as you suggest?
Well, that language is the exact same language that 61.5% of California voters approved 8 years ago with Proposition 22. That is the language of Proposition 22.
And was that the law that was then found unconstitutional recently by the Supreme Court?
That was the law that was overturned by the Supreme Court based on recent legislative activity and based on identifying sexual orientation as the same as race and gender. So both of those are certainly questionable decisions, and it completely overrules the will of the people. By referring to the legislature as having higher authority, they really have overlooked existing law. It should be an initiative, the will of the people, that has higher standing than legislature.
I see. Okay. And nonetheless, you bring this amendment, this constitutional amendment. I'm going to correct me again if I'm wrong here, but in bringing a constitutional amendment, this is a recognition that such a constitutional amendment would be needed, because otherwise same-sex marriage would be allowed according to the legislature, the courts, the Constitution as it's currently written, no?
Right, absolutely right. We align with the majority of California voters, as I said, who approved Proposition 22, and because both the legislature and the courts have now decided that the will of the people is less important than their own perspective, we fortunately had the foresight to move forward with this, so that shortly after the Supreme Court makes its decision, or has made its decision, now the people have an opportunity once again to vote and to strengthen the law by placing it into the Constitution itself.
And if they vote against that constitutional amendment, will that be that? And will you guys end up recognizing, as you say, the will of the people if they turn
Absolutely. Sure.
And
we're talking about the democratic process and how it's been neglected or negated. And so we're once again just attempting to make sure that the people have an opportunity to speak.
And speaking of the people, they recently, a poll came out, I think, last week, for the first time in the history of the state, found that 51% of Californians are actually in favor. I realize it's sort of within the margin of error, but it's still, we're seeing a majority there who are now in favor of same-sex marriage here in California. Does that not reflect the will of the people as well?
Well, it's not uncommon that in interviews that particular poll is brought up that suggested that 51% of the people actually favor same-sex marriage now. But at the same time that the field poll came out, the one you're referring to, several others came out, which once again showed that the people of the state favor the protection of the existing law, marriage only between a man and a woman. That came out from Survey USA research. It came out through an LA Times article research. And it came out through a CC advertising firm based in Virginia that did and found those numbers to be 53%, 54%, and even 56% of Californians favor the protection of the existing definition of marriage.
And is not our Constitution, both the state and actually, now I'm coming up against the break. Will you be able to stick around with us beyond the break a bit? Okay. The Constitution is meant to protect rights. And the question came up, I think it was actually on Bill O'Reilly on Fox News of all places, is it right to use the law, use the ballot booth to protect rights when you've got constitutions that are meant to protect the minority against the majority? Doesn't thinking this way and writing such a restriction into the Constitution sort of go against that thinking? And I've only got 15 seconds. We can answer it after the commercial in more detail, of course.
Well, either direction you go, someone's rights will be hindered or offended. And so we're talking about the democratic process of speaking loudly.
Fair enough. We're going to take speak much more with Ron Prentice after this break. We'll take your calls at 888-5-PETER-B. Thanks for hanging in there with me, Ron. I'm Brad Friedman in for Peter B. Collins. We're back after this break. Stay with us.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show from Green 960 San Francisco. Find out more about Peter B. at green960.com.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. While your humble host is on vacation, here's Brad Friedman from bradblog.com.
Chapel, and we're gonna get married.
Welcome back. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com in for Peter B. Collins today. You can join our online chat at bradblog.com. Go to the top item there, hit comments, and say your piece. Or give us a call at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We're speaking with Ron Prentice, CEO of the California Family Council. You can get more information on them at californiafamily.org. He is a proponent of the California Marriage Protection Act, a constitutional amendment that will ban same-sex marriage. Will be on the ballot this November. You can get more information on that at protectmarriage.com. All right, Ron. Before the break, I was talking about the fact that the Constitution, both the state and the federal, is generally meant to protect rights. Protect the rights of the minority over the majority. If we use the ballot box to determine everything, I think it was actually, I want to say O'Reilly, I'm not sure, but they had talked about this, and they said that if we had used the ballot box to determine what the majority wants in every case, we'd still have slavery in this country. Any thoughts on that?
Well, in this case, we're just using California law, and that means the tool of the initiative, the people's initiative to move forward to really identify and define what it is that society desires in terms of identifying what's right and what's the will of the people. And in this case, as I've said, over the course of centuries, thousands of years, people have not only identified as a husband and a wife, excuse me, a male and a female as husband and wife in marriage, but governments have then adopted that.
Well,
for good reason.
60 years ago.
The reason of the promotion of family and generational well-being in a society.
Well,
that's the purpose of marriage.
60 years ago, of course, California had to decide something similar when they had to decide whether interracial couples were allowed to be married. And, of course, if you use your definition of traditional marriage, at that same point, they should have disallowed marriage between races. How is this any different? And when you talk about marriage as something for a man and a woman to raise children, what about those folks who are who can't have children for whatever reason? Does that make a difference?
Doesn't make a difference in terms of why we define marriage the way we do. It's an institution that's adopted for the purpose of that. Not everyone abides by that or chooses to have children, but the reality is the institution of marriage exists for that primary reason in society or has been adopted in society for those purposes. Once again, generational well-being in society.
Well, again, though, those, you know, going back to the same arguments of tradition and so forth that were made 60 years ago, how is that any different when they were deciding the case of interracial marriage than deciding same-sex marriage now? Or is there a difference?
Those of us who look back and see that interracial marriage had nothing to do with the benefit towards society, we can understand why the court might have ruled in that direction.
What is the benefit?
But in this case, you're talking about equating sexual orientation as the same as race, and there's a major difference in that. There's a major difference in that physiologically, biologically, and the two are really two very separate issues, and the court has chosen not to see it that way. Mm. But
what is the difference?
Well, I can only report on a case that is taking place in Georgia right now where an African-American woman who was an assistant professor at a university, chose to identify the differences between race and sexual orientation and was then fired by the university. But part of her essay or her article in the local paper said, "All I know is this, I go to bed a black woman, I wake up a black woman, and there are thousands of people every year who choose to walk away from the homosexual sexual orientation." So it's not immutable, it's changeable.
Well,
plenty of social science that points to that, and no social science that points away from that.
So, well, there's hundreds of people who walk away from the heterosexual lifestyle as well and become, you know, go into the homosexual lifestyle.
Yeah,
I don't know
right
that that's
back,
a choice.
We go right back to what's the definition, what's the purpose of marriage in society. Once again, why
I'm still having a difficult time. I'm still having a difficult time, Ron, trying to understand what you're saying. How is an interracial marriage different from a same-sex marriage in that regard? I'm not sure I see the difference, and it
I've done my best to describe why a court might rule in an interracial marriage, but in this case,
Setting aside the courts, I'm asking you, what is that difference, if people were against that because of tradition?
The difference is kids need a mom and a dad.
So you would also be against?
And absolutely. You know, there's a complementarity within the home with a mom and a dad.
Would you be against, therefore?
That's what children need, and that's the best model. And to go away from that is really contrary to what's best for children.
Adoption of bilegal couples is already legal. So how does allowing for same-sex marriage equality change that equation?
Nothing changes the equation of what's best for kids. Nothing changes. Maybe the California law has chosen to do that. Florida law has chosen not to do that. Numerous other states have chosen not to allow for same-sex adoptions. In this case, we have that as an example in California, but that doesn't by any means mean that it's the best opportunity for children to be raised in that environment. And that's why, once again, marriage as only between a man and a woman is deemed best for the raising of children and, again, societal benefits.
All right, let's see if anyone else can help either you or me out here to try to communicate on this and figure out where we're not connecting. Brian from Pacific Grove has a question. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, Brian.
Hi, I just had a question for your guest.
Go ahead.
I heard some talk about the sole societal benefit of marriage being that it's helpful in the raising of children. But isn't it a benefit on society as well to have people in long-lasting, committed relationships? Like, wouldn't there be some social benefit to the fidelity that's involved in marriages? Like, especially with just AIDS being an issue and I just see, more greater good coming out of marriage than just children, like it providing, stability and for folks. And
thanks for
I just wanted to know what your guest has to say about that.
Thanks for that question, Brian. Ron Prentice, a lot of folks have, spoken for years about the gay lifestyle, that they didn't stay with partners. Here you have people who want to commit to each other forever, presumably. And yet you folks seem to be against that idea. What are your thoughts on that?
Most people don't even realize that in California there is a registry for domestic partnerships and that every right and responsibility and privilege that is given to married couples, men and women, are now also given in California to same-sex couples through domestic partnerships. Every right in California. In this case, we refer to the unique and distinct relationship between a man and a woman and the making of a home for children, not only one generation, but multiple generations.
Well, not every right, though. For example, not the right to say that you're married. And, there is something to that. For example, I live with my girlfriend. My parents would be delighted if I got married. There is a difference between saying you're married and simply living together. When it comes to long-term relationships, then you're not against same-sex couples living together, right?
Well, that's not the issue at hand. The issue at hand is really what is the purpose of marriage and why should a society, as many have done and continue to define it as only between a man and a woman. What is the effect of choosing to broaden that? There are numerous negative effects. If we go to 9 countries in Europe that have chosen to legalize same-sex marriage, what takes place? Marriage as an institution has weakened, and less marriages take place between men and women, and more children are born out of wedlock. And so the legacy and the heritage of family in general affects society negatively by the weakening of the definition of marriage.
You're saying that in those European countries, they can tie specifically, I mean, because everywhere around the world, there's more and more out-of-wedlock marriages and divorces and so forth. You're saying that these studies that you have actually tie fewer marriages to same-sex marriage laws being passed in those countries?
Yeah, it certainly wouldn't be coincidence. Anyone who knows anything about social research would know that the timing of these laws figures into the rate of out-of-wedlock birth.
All right. I'd love to see what those studies are. Let's check in with Greg in Salinas. Greg, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you have a question for Ron Prentice?
Yeah, I just wanted to know why. I mean, he had made a comment that, the sanctity of marriage is between man and a woman, right? And so that he said that, it's his argument against it at one point was that a man and a man or a woman shouldn't be together because it's not beneficial to the next generation as children. And, I've got multiple friends who never knew their fathers, who just took off, that are heterosexual people. And, it's just we're talking about humanity here, and civil rights. We're not talking about, this. It's almost like there's a religious connotation to this. And I think it should be completely separate.
Thanks for the call, Greg. Thoughts, Ron?
Well, obviously I disagree. We are talking about humanity here. In particular, I'm talking about children. And, yes, we do know of many marriages that dissolve and children that get hurt in that. Why do we want to legalize that aspect becoming more and more available so that children are hurt from that?
Once again,
kids need a mom and a dad.
So your contention then is that more people will split up and become gay married if same-sex marriage is allowed. They'll actually get divorced from their heterosexual marriages and marry a same-sex partner?
No, the caller referred to kids that are hurt or wounded because dads are gone from the home.
Right.
Why do we want to make legal and intentional the absence of a father from the home is what I'm
saying. That's already legal, but how does same-sex marriage keep fathers out of the home? I'm confused.
Well, I don't know what's confusing about the fact that same-sex marriage has only one gender as the parent. And I've referred to the complementarity of the role of a mom and a dad, male and a female, in the home. What is confusing to you about that?
Well, because it sounds like you're talking about same-sex adoption issues. That's already allowed, and I'm not sure how that has anything to do with same-sex marriage when we have marriages that don't have children, and we have children that are either born into homes or adopted by homes that have nothing to do with marriage. I assume you wouldn't want a child to go as an orphan. You would prefer, rather than be an orphan, that they actually are adopted by a same-sex couple. That would certainly be preferable to having no parents at all, correct?
You're consistently referring to the exception to the rule versus why we create the norms, why government has chosen to accept a particular institution as unique and distinct for the benefit of families. And again, multiple generations.
Okay. We're speaking with Ron Prentice from CaliforniaFamily.org and ProtectMarriage.com about the Constitutional Marriage Protection Act that's going to be on the November ballot. Karen from hang in there, Karen. We're going to have to take a quick break. We're going to come back with more with Ron Prentice. You're listening to Brad Friedman sitting in for Peter B. Collins on The Peter B. Collins Show.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show from Green 960 San Francisco. Find out more about Peter B. at green960.com.
Brad Friedman sitting in for PBC today. We're speaking with Ron Prentice, CEO of the California Family Council, a partner in the Protect Marriage Coalition. They've got a ballot initiative on the ballot this November, the California Marriage Protection Act, which would change the California Constitution to require that only marriage between a man and a woman is valid or recognized in the state of California. And, Ron, appreciate you hanging in here with us and taking some of these tough questions. Going to get right to a caller here, Karen in Sacramento. You have a question for Ron Prentice.
Yeah, briefly, my background goes back to my ancestry goes back to right when the Mayflower came over. So my ancestors fought hard for this Constitution. And then additionally, I have a background as a natural sciences where I studied geology, paleontology, biology. It's just my understanding that when I, you know, hear about the gay population, I just automatically think of all the different species that have morphed and lived on the planet. And if they're a recessive gene, why can't we just be at peace with that? If you believe God created the world, then God created gay people.
Fair enough. Thanks, Karen. And by the way, you can give us a call at 888-5-PETER-B. We've got just a few minutes, a few more minutes this hour. We have time to fit in another call or two. Ron, any thoughts on that? There's all sorts of species have recessive genes, have gay creatures. How is that not God's wishes?
Well, what we know, once again, is what we're talking about here is what is best for this society, and for what purpose would a government choose to adopt any particular systematic understanding for the purpose of marriage. But we're not talking about recessive genes. I mean, we could spend 2 hours on that. On that alone, in terms of whether or not there's really any biological evidence here. But what we're talking about today and what this does, you say it changes the Constitution. It essentially strengthens California law that's already in place.
And but found unconstitutional. I have to clarify that, correct?
Well, yeah, but I would encourage you to actually read the decision, because the decision does not refer to the Constitution. So when judges choose to use that term, do your homework and identify whether or not what they're referring to is truly constitutional. By identifying sexual orientation as the same as race and gender, there's nothing within the Constitution about that. By referring to the legislative process in the past few years that completely overlooks the vote of the people and the democratic process, that once again goes contrary to the Constitution.
Well, but so I think that the rules in the Constitution.
It's more a catchphrase than anything when you refer to something, or this in particular, as unconstitutional. It's not
well, there are no. Does not the Constitution demand that there are equal rights to all? And is there any other restriction like this that is written into the Constitution?
And then we move into various states, that 27 thus far, that have placed into their constitution their desire for marriage to be defined.
Ron, is there any other similar restriction, not a guarantee of a right, but a restriction that's written into the California Constitution? You know it better than I.
Well, we move forward with the understanding of how far-reaching do rights go. And in this case, do we refer to the individual rights of people, or do we refer to the normative understanding of a unique institution for the benefit, a long-term benefit of society adopted by government?
Only I'm coming up against the back of the hour here, so I'm going to take that as a no. We have no similar restrictions built into the Constitution, which is usually reserved for rights. Let me try to get in a couple callers here when we only have a minute or two left here. Steve in Salinas. Oh, Steve.
Hey. Well,
hey, Steve.
Number one, I definitely challenge this guy about how the European studies show that same-sex marriage is weak and marriage between heterosexuals. That is complete double talk. But I know we don't have much.
Where's your research?
But this is what I got. Who cares? There's so many divorces in our country today. If you've got two people that want to raise a kid, God bless them. And I think you ought to spend, if you've got all this energy and trying to do the better for mankind, why don't you spend it on something that's a little bit more reasonable and fulfilling, like, you know, working in a homeless shelter or raising money for some poor kids or something like that.
Thanks, Steve.
I mean, this is nothing but negativity, and it's some religious kind of a deal.
Steve, I'm gonna cut you off just because we're coming up to the back of the hour, and I want to get one more caller in here. Richard from Fortuna. Real quickly, Richard, what do you got? Richard on line one. All right. Let's try Brian on three.
Hi.
Hey, is that Brian?
Here's my question.
Yeah, real quickly, sir.
Would this fellow work real hard to make sure that people like John McCain and his wife don't get married? They're not producing. I don't think Bob or Liddy Dole has produced any kids. So if he's not a homophobe, he needs to attack these things equally.
Thanks for that. Thanks for that call, Brian. Any response to that? In fact, John McCain and his wife do not have children. They adopted, and he asked, "Would you work against them getting married, Mr. Prentice?"
Once again, I think the caller heard me clearly. That's kind of an irrational argument. The issue here, pardon my repetition, but the issue here is what has been successful across the ages. And what are we attempting to keep in place? And success has clearly been shown, identified, and chosen by numerous societies and brought into government laws because of its success. And then we're talking about sustaining it, not broadening it or weakening it.
All right, we're starting to lose your signal there. I'm not sure with the divorce rate of more than 50% now in this country, I'm not sure that we can consider that such a wonderful success in that regard. But Ron Prentice, I do thank you for coming in and taking the heat today a little bit. It's much appreciated. Folks can get more information on this initiative. Sure to get more and more notice as we get closer to November at protectmarriage.com. And real quickly, Ron, can you the name of that European study so I can look it up? Do you happen to have that at your fingertips?
You can find it on the website at protectmarriage.com.
We'll check it out at protectmarriage.com. Ron Prentice, much appreciate you sitting in and taking the fire. All right, we're going to come back with our we got our Green News Report coming up after this. We've got Greg Mitchell and much more ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show from Green 960 San Francisco. Find out more about Peter B. at green960.com.